So before I even preach, I want to do a couple of, I call them asides. The first one, just a quick one about that announcement from before to help you appreciate it. One of the things we've worked hard in our church over the last 10 years is to share this building every single day. And we're doing things 7 days a week here now. And it's wonderful. But here's some of the things that have happened. In the last 3 months, we've had 4 times a gigantic bag of towels go missing from the kitchen. And every time somebody brings brand new towels, they're gone within 2 weeks. And it's just frustrating. 3 of the big tables that we bought downstairs are gone. They're just gone. And our big Bibles in the back, over the last 2 years, we used to have 12. We now have 2. They've just gone missing. So to help appreciate, and this is just an announcement, is help check that out. And if you ever see something, help us know. Because we don't, in fact, we're very clear. We're not angry. We're not blaming anybody. But they're gone. So we're trying to fix it so that we can let other people use it. Now, the second one is very important because many of you a few weeks back were here when I helped do, was part of a baptism, and we left at the end of it. I want you to know why. Barb, my wife, had gotten a phone call. Her parents had been both very sick. Barb spent the entire night sobbing. She was crying the entire night. It was a hard day. Turns out that her mother, who now has dementia, was falling apart at home because Dad had physically been falling. And it didn't make any sense. He had been hospitalized. He'd had surgery. He should be better. Something was very wrong. And Barb didn't know what to do. But what she did, we got home, she made a bunch of phone calls. And this is actually connected to the sermon, but in a different way. We found out the surgery was done wrong. And on top of everything else, Barb's dad had been walking around on a broken, severely broken leg, which meant every time he took a step, he was in pain and he was damaging it worse. There's good news. After that terrible night, a lot of phone calls were made, a lot of people stepped in. He had another surgery. He's been in a nursing home. And for the first time, he does not have pain. That was 2 days ago that we actually got that first day that he has had no pain. So I want you to appreciate and thank you for being understanding when we had to leave. I hope you'd agree. We left for a very good reason. It wasn't like we just left. I don't want my wife to stand in front of you and be crying an entire night. That's not a good thing. It's not helpful. And one other piece of news. 1 week ago, my daughter got engaged to be married, which is wonderful. So a year from now, I'm officially older. And it will be a wonderful day. Now, a story that's immediately part of the sermon. I don't know if you've ever seen this. You've looked around our building, and have you ever looked out back? And do you know what's back there? What's back there? Okay, yeah, the garbage can. Everybody knows about the garbage can. And by the way, we have 3 very happy squirrels who visit that garbage can all week long. What else is back there? A parking lot. What's behind the parking lot? Thank you. 3 houses who 5 to 6 times every year their entire backyard floods horribly. It gets into their garage and many times into their house. And for years, it's done tremendous damage. So a month ago, one of the neighbors, I'm very close with all the neighbors, we talk all the time, comes up and talks to me, and he's all upset. And the reason he's upset is because he has tried very hard to figure out what to do to get that water to go down so that it destroyed his two big trees. They're gone. He's had to replace things in his garage. It's cost a lot of money. And he says, I need your help because I know that the water goes kind of to your parking lot, but it goes over there. So I went over next door to ask the park district to help me. Park district said, oh, that's not our responsibility. It's the village's. So I went to the village. I asked for their help. The village says, oh, that's the park's responsibility. You ever had that happen? Where people, what they call that passing the buck. And he looked at me. He said, would you help me? Don't pass the buck. So the other day, I changed into lousy clothes. I went out there with an older member of our church. We found the old manhole cover you don't even know where that is. It's kind of hidden way in the back. And we pulled it in the grass, cleaned it completely out. We took 6 feet of muck out. I looked very bad. Found out that wasn't even the problem. The water is running perfectly into our parking lot, but then it plugs somewhere from our parking lot over to the park. So I went over and I talked to the people at the park and said, I need your help. This is important. Oh, did you hear that word? Important. Did you hear the child before say it's something that's bigger? Legitimately bigger. It is legitimately bigger because it's thousands of dollars. It's not just three homes, it's actually 6 homes that get water all the time, terribly. So I did everything that I could, and we figured out where the problem was, and then we went and we talked to people from the park, and it was wonderful. Instead of them passing the buck, they watched everything I had done. They said, why are you doing all that? I said, because I believe that a Christian does everything they can to solve a problem. And the guy looked at me and he said, wow, if you can do that. He gets on his phone, he calls up a guy and he says, you know what? I got a friend over at the village who I know knows how to fix one of these problems. He says, and he owes me a favor. He says, I'm going to get him over. Suddenly, something that's very big is now something that we can fix. But everybody had to do something, a little thing, so that something important could become less problem. Now the sermon. I wish you had known one of my teachers from seminary. His name was Eugene Worley. Gene. The man is one of the smartest, well, he died a couple of years ago, one of the absolutely smartest men about the Bible in the world. In the world. He knew more about the New Testament than almost anybody else. He understood it in its original language. He really appreciated the Bible. But Gene, more important than that, I know some smart teacher people who aren't really good church people, but they're really good teacher people. This man was a church man. That meant he showed up to church on Sunday. He would do offerings. He would teach classes. He'd work with children. He would help clean something up. He didn't care because he believed that you should use every gift you have every day you can do something to do something, because that's what a Christian does. And he was wonderful. And the best part, he was humble. The word humble means of the earth, literally the ability to bend down low, to see the dirt, to look at the flowers. Gene right now would be probably upset with me that I'm saying nice things about him, because he wouldn't want me to make a big deal. And I'm going to look kind of in the direction we think heaven sometimes is. And I'll say, Gene, I'm sorry, but it's true. He'll deal with me someday with God. Gene had a magic ability. He could go into any fight in any church and get people to listen to each other, because he helped remind people that we're a little lower than God. And he helped us remember the difference between being very important and being too important. That little line that's so hard to figure out, because you and I know people who think they're better than everybody else. I know you know that. And people who think that every problem is the biggest problem in the entire world. I sometimes deal here at the church, and you deal with it at your jobs, and sometimes at home, sometimes with your friends, people who make the biggest thing out of something that you look and you go, really? It's not that important. It's actually lower than that. And our job every single day is to put everything into perspective. Oh, the perspective is twofold. The first perspective is, what is actually important? Or who is actually important? And the second is, what purpose? Our texts for today, I don't know if you know this or not, are two of the most dangerous Bible passages in the Bible. They're actually very dangerous. They have been used by religious groups around the world for years to tell why they are more important than somebody else. Why? Because we're more important than animals and more important than plants, that we can destroy animals and plants and we don't even have to care about it. And the last time I checked, we better care about it. The last time I checked, was there not recently a horrible typhoon that just hit parts of India, Bangladesh? Same kinds of typhoons that just hit Japan and China and destroyed things. And we know for a fact that we affect things by the stuff we put in the water. I know I've preached a sermon in the past a little bit about that, and I know that's a very big deal. But I know that you and I are important. Now a story. I recently did a funeral. 25-year-old girl. This is very important to me. This is very hard for me. She was 1 week older than my son, who just turned 25. She was murdered by her boyfriend. The funeral home called and said, we need you really badly. So I met with a mom. I want you to keep in prayers a very wonderful lady. Her name is Michelle. She's a mess. She can't think straight. She doesn't know if life is now worth living. Oh, her daughter left behind a 2-year-old boy who's a beautiful child. Oh, by the way, the girl's name who died is named Dorothy. Do you actually know the meaning of that word? It's the same name as the name Theodore, just backwards. It means one who adores God. I did her funeral, and I took the risk to allow people to share things. I want you to hear something. The first is, she was never very important by the world's standards. She had no money. She did a telemarketing job and sometimes did people's hair. For years, she washed people's hair at a nursing home that's actually part of the United Church of Christ. That's our denomination. And Bensonville. So some of you have probably gone right past it. It's called the Anchorage now. And for years, she washed people's hair. They're old people, and many of them would die, and she would watch people get old and frail. Nobody thought very much about her. One by one after her death, people stood up and walked up front, and they all told the same story. She found them when they were at their lowest place in life. Somehow she had been given a gift by God to actually see people who hurt and find them when they are broken. And remember, how much money did she have? None. She would borrow money. She would go to an extra job. She would take every money, every penny she could find. Remember that story of the little widow who gave the 2 copper coins? Remember that story? It immediately came back. Everybody told the same story. She helped them at their worst place. She nursed them back to health. She helped them find jobs. She watched their children when they were abandoned. And one by one, these people told me the story that literally she saved their life. Several of them were ready to commit suicide, and because of her, they did not. And she was murdered, and the world would look at her and say, she is not important. Now you tell me, how important is she? This? You and I are created just a little lower than God. I know you know this, but one thing you say can kill someone. One thing you say can save someone. One thing you do can transform a life. One willingness to look at somebody not through the eyes of people who think, I'm important, you're not worth anything, but look through just for a moment the lens of God, who is willing. Do you remember that famous story in Philippians? It tells you about Jesus. Jesus, who was created, Philippians almost argues equal with God. That uses actually the word equal. Says, did not consider God something to be exploited. But do you remember the word that's used, what he does? Do you remember what Jesus does? He empties himself. He literally makes himself less important through the eyes of everything else, lowers himself, humbles himself, and is human. And it isn't simply so that he can look at us and say, oh, I understand you now. Like he didn't understand us before. He does it so that he can touch us. Like this girl can actually, on a day-to-day basis, touch you and me. Spend time with us. Name us by name. I go, everywhere I go, I practice this. And I'm not going to do a cheap moralism, but I want to teach you something I try to do. It's very hard. Everywhere I go, I hold a door open for everybody. Everybody. I don't care if I'm holding 7 boxes. I still try to hold a door. I'll go like this, and I'll go like this with my foot to hold the door. And I'll have people look at me, and they see the white hair, and they say, oh, you're an old man. Oh, let me help you. And I start to laugh, and I say, as long as I can move that leg, I'm going to keep that door open. And I smile, and I always say, what's your name? That's the lesson. What is your name? And I try very hard, even though I get older and I forget names. I'm human. But I work very hard to learn names so that the next time I walk into that place where I watch, everybody goes up to the counter. They don't care who the person is on the other side. I'm angry. I go up, I say, hi, Ted, how are you doing? They look at me like this. And after the third time, they learn my name. It's not simply that we're created just a little lower than God. We're created for a purpose. Every single one of us is created, endowed with beautiful, sacred gifts from God. Every single one of us is given life for meaning. And it isn't cheap meaning. It really is fundamental, deep meaning. That means I'm convinced if one of you is gone right now, it's hurting your church because your presence means something to God. Your gift is to be used for some reason. Maybe it's for an older adult. Maybe it's for a child. Maybe it's for somebody in jail. Maybe it's for somebody who has never heard the word of God before. Maybe it is simply to tell a truth. Maybe it is to show kindness. Maybe it is simply to fix something because you're able to actually fix something. I had a guy last week. I go, I'm back there. I'm in a mess. The guy says, Why are you wasting your time? You're the pastor. You shouldn't have to be a mess. And I listened to the older man working with me who turned and looked at him and said, it is because he can do this. And the man looked, and you could see the light bulb go on, and he said, huh, he can do this. You can do amazing things. You are created only a little lower than God. You have been given power and dominion over the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish in the sea. But you are called to be named by God and for a purpose that is divine. Remember Dorothy. Remember a girl who honored her purpose and who I believe Jesus is taking care of her now. And live in a way that honors the Lord. Amen.